nobody brings Philadelphia fans closer together than the Green Legion. From tailgates in South Philly to invading enemy territory, this group is the home to the true Philadelphia sports fan. Now their party hits the airwaves. Quimby, Michael Diaz, Chris Sapp, Slash, and Super Sam Ross always keep the conversation going. So crack a beer, take a shot, and join the virtual tailgate now on Green Legion Radio.
Irv, don't worry about it. This was done like 7 or 8 months ago.
I've been here more than 7 or 8 months.
I know, what? But we didn't know if you were going to be a permanent part at that point.
Oh, man.
I didn't even ask you at that
Please,
point.
Please, you're going to lie.
Hold on.
No, wait, I'm not. Wait, open the show.
You're going to lie to me in front here of my mother. Here we go. You're going to lie to me in front of my mother.
Here we go, everybody. The Green Legion Radio Players Show from Live Casino here in South Philadelphia on Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia. My name's Quimby. Joined alongside our producer, Super Slash.
Super Slash.
Super Slash.
Super Slash.
Yikes.
No, that's not good.
Super Slash.
Yeah, he got mixed up. He got mixed up.
The Goblin? Yeah.
Chris, he got mixed up.
Chris Sackmaster, Sack Attack, Reggie. Woo-ha-ha. Host of your Philadelphia Eagles Insider podcast and longtime guest of the show, Mr. Dave Spadaro. How are you, sir?
Doing great, guys. Welcome. Thanks for having me.
Great
to be here. Great to be here.
Maybe Zach can give me a nickname today. I don't have a nickname. And I'm kind of sick of that.
All right, we can start with desperate.
No, I'm not desperate. But you know that's not the case.
The Reverend, the Doctor. You got quite a few.
Nah, he doesn't want to be the Reverend.
The Pro Bowler, the legendary wide receiver.
Well, those are titles.
In case you guys didn't know, the needy individual that was just speaking there, that would be the legendary wide receiver, and of course, Eagles legendary wide receiver, the Reverend, the Doctor, Mr. Irving Fryer. How are you, sir?
I got you needy.
He was so needy at the beginning of the show. That was the best open we ever had.
Well, no, I think he's just trying to impress his mama who's here today.
Of course.
All right.
I don't see her over
there.
Where's
Mama Fryer?
No, she's on the slots.
My mama didn't raise no punks.
Oh, there she is.
Hi, there she is.
We figured you didn't want your name associated with us. That's why I didn't include it in the intro.
And everybody, our Philadelphia Eagle guest of the week, who actually was named NFC Special Teams Player of the Week in week one. We're going to have a fun story about that. I can't wait to hear. But your cornerback for your Philadelphia Eagles, no more introduction needs. Zach McPherson, everybody.
Yeah. In the house.
Thanks for having me.
Coming off his career day.
Uh-huh. Nice falsetto. Appreciate it.
No, pleasure to have you. All right, you guys, let's go through the business here real fast. Make sure you download the iHeartRadio app and rate, reviews, download, and subscribe to Green Legion Radio on Fox Sports, The Gambler, Philadelphia. Show's brought to you by friends at Bud Light, Bud Light Seltzer, Michelob Ultra, Stateside Vodka, and Stateside Bourbon Diaz. Dave, I always know when Sack's in the house.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Dave Bavuso, State Farm in Williamstown, New Jersey, Greater Philadelphia Health Action, Bucks County Baseball Company, did a hell of a job selling ponchos for all the people that didn't think it was going to rain on Sunday. Wow, you guys
are amazing. Who thought it wasn't going to rain on Sunday?
About 500 of the 625 people that were at our tailgate.
500 ponchos.
Were they, like, sleeping for the previous 3 days?
You know, I'm
still waiting for Noah's Ark to go by my house. It's ridiculous.
The Ludlam Bar and Grill in Sea Isle City, formerly La Costa. The beautiful ladies over at Cheerleaders. And, of course, across the bridge, our good friends at Echelon Health and Fitness. Soon to be as well, Audubon Health and Fitness. Everybody, we don't, we only have an hour with our players, so we're going to get right into it. And Zach, we're happy to have you on the show once again. Yep. 24 years old from Baltimore. Were you a Ravens fan growing up?
Yep, growing up a Ravens fan. I liked the Chicago Bears a little bit, too.
All right. Was there a reason for liking Chicago?
You like, I mean, Rex Grossman, big fan.
No,
because they haven't had. I mean, you're only 24 years old. They, other than the Khalil Mack years, they weren't that successful.
Like a big time Devin Hester fan. I was
That'll do it.
When he was coming out of Miami, so that would made me like the Bears.
Gotcha. I saw a stat today. Tyreek Hill has more receiving yards this year than all of the wide receivers on the Bears combined.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Who has that much time?
It's not unbelievable.
That's ineptitude,
right?
Talented guy.
5'11", 191 pounds, fourth round pick, 123 overall.
Right.
We're going to have some fun with this one. So you spent your first 2 years at college, Penn State.
Yep.
don't you go
he
there.
He's about to go there, ain't he?
Yeah, I'm going there one way or the other.
Don't you go there.
All right.
I don't care.
I'm going there.
I'm with you.
Did you leave Penn State? I mean, obviously for more playing time, but did you like Penn State? Did you? You can be honest here because I'll tell you right now, I despise Penn State and everybody that's ever gone there or graduated from.
Lord have mercy.
And thanks for coming out.
Minus Miles Sanders. Yeah.
Hey Zach, anytime you want to get up and leave, you can get up and leave.
I got you.
He already got paid.
He got the check.
If you had enough. Just get up and leave. You don't even have to say anything. Just put right.
There's a lot of opinions on these two tables, sir.
Nah, it's definitely a lot of opinions. Definitely from going up Penn State. I'm going to keep it surface level, but I enjoyed the people I met there.
Take the high road.
Zach. I just had Take to leave road, yeah. for a better me.
Well, you obviously got more play time when you got to Texas.
Definitely.
You played all 10 games your senior year.
Uh-huh.
You played all 12 games your junior year. You even had two block punts. 53 tackles, at least two in all 10 games your senior season.
Mm-hmm.
Four interceptions. That's a hell of a season right there. First team All Big 12 named by conference coaches and Associated Press. Named third team All American by Pro Football Focus. When you were at Texas Tech, they obviously recruited you out of Penn State. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Automatically promising you, more play time.
Right.
Tell us what ultimately led to you leaving Penn State and going almost 1,400 miles.
So my time at Penn State, I mean, you know, me as a competitor, like, I knew I was one of them guys, and I've proven that through, like, spring ball, summer camp. And, you know, I proved that year to year there. And you know, I got some guys that can attest to that, a lot of guys that I was there with. And, I just felt like they just kept putting me behind the eight ball. And, you know, that just made the chip on my shoulder a little bit bigger. But obviously it made me a little frustrated at the same time. But, you know, it's a team sport, so, you know, you can't really let it get to you. So,
sure you can. Your skill set. You know what you can do, and you want to be able to. It's a team sport based on individual efforts.
Right, it's a team sport played by individuals.
Sure. I have a question for Zach and for Irving. It seems to me that college football, there's really no loyalty, right? Like,
well, not anymore. Now, right? That money's involved, and they, you know, it really.
But I mean, when you're a kid and you go there, you kind of expect to get a fair shake.
Yeah.
And Irv, in your case, I guess it wasn't as easy for kids to go elsewhere, right?
No. There were 4 year scholarships given out when I went to college. It was obviously year to year, but there were 4 year scholarships promised and in writing. When I first went to college. So it was a little bit different, or a lot different than I went.
Zach, do you feel betrayed? Like, do kids feel betrayed when they kind of get, they get told one thing and then they get showed something else in college?
I definitely would say they definitely probably feel betrayed. But you got to put a responsibility on yourself a little bit as an athlete going there.
Right.
You just got to.
Right.
I mean, obviously a coach going to sell you a dream to get you there.
Yep.
I mean, I don't blame him for doing it. It's like selling cars. You know what I'm saying? But it's just one of them things, you got to play your cards right. And obviously being a young kid, 16, 17 years old, what else? You know, especially nowadays, like Irvin said, you know, with all these NIL deals, I mean, they can sell you the world. And a kid, 16, 17, coming out of high school, he going to jump right at it. So it's a hard game definitely nowadays.
So that was an adjustment for you, you know, going from Penn State to Texas.
Right.
And now you're starting, you're getting your time in, you're playing, you're fulfilling what you feel you've worked for and you kind of earned.
Right.
You put your time in. Now you get drafted, fourth round.
Uh-huh.
And your way of maintaining your job here on the Eagles is to play special teams.
By far.
And I know you played a little bit of special teams while you were at Texas, but but now that's your job. That's your way of earning your check.
Until,
that's
of course, he plays 44 snaps this Sunday.
Well, yeah. But what do you tell the next guy who's drafted in fourth round, who was starting in college, playing whether it was offense or defense, corner, linebacker, whatever it was, now they have to, in order to maintain the job and to contribute to the team in the NFL, they have to play strictly special teams.
Right.
What is your word to that guy who's coming in next year in the fourth round? Because you're a mid-round draft choice. You're not a a first rounder, but you're not in the eighth round either, or the seventh round either. You're right in the middle.
Oh, my God. I have always wanted to watch the eighth round on Monday.
That's why I changed it to seventh round, Bubblehead. But you're right there. You're going to make the team. You have value to the team.
Right.
But now your value is special teams. What do you tell that guy?
I would tell him, you know, it's obviously a big adjustment.
Right.
You know, especially if you come in like a guy out of college and playing a ton and then get in the league, you know, your main role is special teams. But, I mean, at that point, I just tell him you got to swallow your pride. You know, I learned that just from my first year being on the Eagles on special teams that it's a big part of the game. Like, I didn't view it like that in college. Like,
right.
Special teams can really change the momentum.
Field position.
At any moment in NFL. And, you know, just one of them things that I got to take serious, you know. And to make the team strictly off of special teams, that's how you're going to feed your family. Your time call.
Zach, obviously the last couple weeks you've gotten to play a little bit more on the defensive side of the football, especially with Slay's injuries.
Uh-huh.
Being that you are behind, to me, I think it's the best trio of cornerbacks in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I mean, with Bradbury, Slay, and Avante Maddox. What are some of the things that you learn from them, that you gain from them in the cornerback and the safety and all you guys' defensive back room?
Right.
What are things that you pick their brains on that help you on Sunday when you get a chance to play like you got to play this past Sunday against the Jaguars?
Well, I'm taking things in from them each and every day. It's like it's so much to take in from, you can't even digest it all at once. But one big thing I would say just from this year is their preparation. You know, when guys are different in the NFL, guys with a lot of talent, their preparation towards the game and their love for the game is, like, different. You can see it by the way they walk around the facility. And just the guys like Bradbury and Slay, they come every day ready. Like, I try to just, you know, almost mimic them and what they do and follow their lead because, you know, that's why they're so successful in this league. I mean, a lot of it comes with being veterans and, you know, having a lot of experience on the field. But it's just the little things that they take. Every day, the details, I mean, from off the field all the way to on the field, it's just something you can't take for granted, but help them just learn each and every day and be a sponge around them.
That's good.
So, Zach, Slay goes out early. You go in. Just take us through the whole emotional thing, how you feel you played, and then how it looked the next day. Because I think when you get that real significant, meaningful game, that great opportunity like you had,
right.
It can be so pivotal in a young player's career. That's and right. In your case, you played really well, so it really can boost you moving forward. Take us through everything.
Yeah, so obviously y'all know the weather of that game. It was a pretty messy game. I think it was the first series. I didn't even know what's going on. I was running out for special teams. And I'm on the field, and Coach Clay yelling at me, "Zach, get off. I'm thinking I did something wrong. I'm like, the game just started.
You're taking me out already.
Like, what'd I do wrong, man? And I get to the sideline, everybody's like, Slay's down. I'm like, what do you mean he's down? We just started the game. Wow. Like, it's the first series. Like, what could have possibly happened? And it turned out he was in the tent. Thankfully, it wasn't nothing serious. But, you know, I just had to get my mind where I flipped the switch on my mind. I was like, okay, it's go time. After that first series, it felt good. And them boys from Florida, Jaguars, they didn't want to play in the cold. So, I mean, I could see it on their emotion.
And you can. You can tell. No, you can tell.
By their demeanor. And I was just like, we in four games, so let's ball. Just like practice.
And then how did it look when you watched it the night? Did you guys watch it yesterday?
Yeah, we watched it yesterday.
How'd you play?
I feel like I played really well. You know, I did my job, came out there, was detailed in everything I did. And, you know, that's all you can really ask for a player just, you know, being thrown out there. I mean, did my job and held my own. So
how many targets? I don't really even remember them going your way a lot.
Yeah, it was just two targets.
Yeah,
the sign of a great cornerback, Bobby Taylor. Never heard his name. The greatest D-back on the Philadelphia Eagles you've never heard.
I don't think he was the greatest.
I think Troy was
Bobby
that
you
Taylor,
never heard.
That you never heard. But
that you never heard.
I don't think he was
you
the greatest.
You never heard Bobby Taylor's name because
no,
they wouldn't
never
throw his
hear.
Way.
Well, here we go. Do you guys get married in the offseason or something?
Yeah.
The way you guys are bickering?
Constantly bickering at each other.
Nah, it's because I'm looking missing. Straight at him.
Yeah, it's he puts me here so he can, yeah.
Zach, you kind of alluded to it, the weather conditions on Sunday and playing in that aspect and how the Jaguars really, they had no desire or will to want to play in that game. I mean, they're up 14-0 and they're folding like a cheap tent as the game kind of went along. As a defensive back, what's it like playing against some of these, like a guy like a Christian Kirk? You're playing up against a guy that's had a really good start to the season. You know, your footing and everything out there on the field. What's it like playing on that surface with those kind of weather conditions, with the wind and the rain and the cold? On October 2nd, I mean, you think you're safe to buy tickets to a game on October 2nd? You're going to get a decent fall day? No, it feels like it's December 2nd. It was ridiculous out there.
I'm going into it. They covered the field up pretty well. So, like, right before warm-ups, they took the tarp off. I'm like, okay, the field is straight.
You see Kelsey sliding around before the game?
I did see that. But as the game went on, the field started getting terrible. Like, your cleats start sticking in the ground and stuff like that. But, like, we're from up this way. We've done it before. You know, you just got to really have your feet under your base. But other than that, going against guys like Christian Kirk and those guys are really talented receiving corps.
Yeah, he didn't make much noise on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, both teams had to play in that condition, so there's really no room for excuse, really. But it was just one of them games, man. The weather, Mother Nature, she gonna come in to say something, you know, fam.
Yeah. Zach, so let's step away here. What did that game do for you? I mean, I know you always believe in yourself, but to actually go out and do it in the fourth week of the regular season, how you feeling right now about yourself?
I'm feeling good. The game honestly just made me more hungry, like, because I know I ain't even tap into, you know, what everything I can be and just, you know, the belief I have in myself, you know, and just what I want to be and my goals, you know, personally and within the team. You know, I want to help the team in any way. And, you know, it just really gave me like a, you know, confidence boost for sure, but I know there's more.
What a great early season for you. Special teams player of the week, week one, and then you go out and play 44 excellent snaps in week four. Yep. And this is why the Eagles, guys, you tell me if you agree or not, are a great football team. There is so much depth here.
Yeah.
There is so much. Young players are getting better, developing, challenging each other, challenging for playing time, ready to go when their moment is called. Trey Sermon, 2 carries, 19 yards.
Yeah.
Jack Driscoll plays.
We'll go over the box score later on, Dave.
I know, but I'm just saying, to be part of that, to be part of a locker room like that, Zach, must be really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And bring out you must like feel like you're bringing out the best in everybody.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, I'll tell you, I'm a culprit of this entire situation myself, because as an Eagles fan, as a Philadelphia sports fan, we're impatient as hell. And we don't like to sit around and wait for players to develop, but what we are seeing right now is a lot of draft picks over the last few years that are starting to develop, that are becoming players. I mean, you know, we have one on our show right now. We're going to talk about TJ Edwards and a singular play on Sunday that kind of speaks volumes to what I'm referring to right now. And it wasn't a tackle for a loss. It was Sunshine scrambling. And he tries to juke him with a fake throw, and TJ did not bite on that thing at all and put his ass down. And that's the maturity level and the experience that you're starting to see from some of these younger players. It's really becoming a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
They've alluded to it quite a few times here. You won the NFC Player of the Week for special teams. Mm-hmm. What do you get for that? Do you get a plaque? You get a trophy? Do they give you a bonus? Like, what do you get for something like that?
Self-esteem
boost.
Question.
It's a great question.
I got like a little
It's a great segue into the break, you know?
His agent has it for him when his rookie contract is up. That's for sure.
No, sorry, he do. But, yeah, I got a football. I framed it. It's already up in the house.
Nice.
Oh,
nice.
They gave me like a frame with the play. With some tackle I made on it, so it's pretty nice.
So a picture of you making the tackle?
Yeah, on punt. Yeah,
that's cool. That's nice.
And what's going to be fun when we come back from break, which we're going to take right now? Zach actually has a story in college back 2020 on an onside kick that I'm not quite sure he's.
He took a bad hit, didn't he?
Well, thanks a lot for ruining it, Irv.
No, I'm not going to ruin
it. It's called a tease, sir. Just shut up at this point.
I'm called the best color analyst in the business for nothing, Monty.
Jesus. Everybody, the Green Legion Radio Players Show from a live casino here in South Philadelphia on Fox Sports Radio here in Philadelphia. You guys, we'll be back with Zach McPherson right after this. Hi, everybody. The Green Legion Radio Players Show from Live Casino in South Philadelphia. Jansen, you're not getting your check today. Just letting you know.
The old head doesn't like Rage Against the Machine.
He didn't play the Hooters.
Why did you have to bring that up? You know that's what we're coming in and out.
Either that or Creed. Keep it up, Jansen.
Everybody, good work. My name's Quimby alongside Slash, Super Sam, Ross, soon to be Brady for real.
Homewrecker.
The homewrecker.
What a homewrecker.
The homewrecker. We know. All right. Hey, look, I mean, we'll talk about this in a moment, but the most important news in football is that Tom and Giselle are breaking up. We already got
homewrecker.
And it's all because of Super Sam Brady.
Good Sam right over there.
There it is.
That girl right there.
Host of your Philadelphia Eagles Inside Podcast.
Insider Podcast.
Insider Podcast, Mr. Dave Spadaro.
Thank you.
Anytime you guys want to host, you can. Sackmaster.
Zach, don't host.
Everybody, yeah, welcome back to...
Sorry.
And, of course, Slash Eagles defensive back, Mr. Zach McPherson with us, everybody.
Yep.
All right, go. Don't hang out alone in the man cave for football this season. Try hanging out at Cheerleaders with Sexy Entertainers, $4 domestic beers, Jameson specials, and awesome game day prizes during all Sunday and Monday football games. That's right. Stop in before, during, or after the game, not only to see your favorite entertainers, but also your chance to win an awesome game day prize. The most epic game day experience is at Cheerleaders Gentlemen's Club, where champions play. Cheerleaders is open daily from noon until 2 a.m. Zach, I'm talking about your onside kick recovery in week one.
Yeah.
Apparently, didn't have the same, quite the same experience a couple years prior in college. You want to tell us that story?
Yeah. It was that was a rough one for me versus Texas my last year at Tech. I think it was like fourth quarter. We get this onside kick, we go home, we win the game, man. Turns out they kicked it right to me. I think it like hit off my chest or my face mask, and they clean me up. Clean me up good. They got the ball back.
Pulled a Hank Basket on you.
Yeah, it wasn't a fun experience, and I told myself that ain't never happening again. Like,
did they score?
They went down, scored that drive. And
see, this is why we learn from things.
I
right?
hated being on the front line on onside kick. You know, you played the
you're
whole
the
game.
You're the hands team, baby.
You're the hands team. They would always put me right up front, and they would always kick the ball right.
Yeah. What is the like? What is the coaching like? What do they? What's the coach tell you to do in that situation when you know? Well, even let's take us back to Detroit.
He just wishes you luck.
What's going through your mind? Because you obviously learned from what happened in college,
right? So in Detroit, I know the ball's in the air. So honestly, I should have threw a fair catch sign up. You know,
oh,
I'm
you can
protected.
Fair catch on a ball that kicks up into the air like
if
that?
If it doesn't hit the ground first.
Yeah, if it doesn't
hit the ground. Kick it up into the ground. Okay. If they kick it up into the
but,
air.
But, I mean, if they kick it on the ground, they tell us let the you know, the back line get it. Or if it's coming hot on the ground, just go block somebody.
Right.
You know, let the back line get it. But in college, I didn't do either of that. I thought I was Superman, thought I could catch it. It was coming too hot, smack right off me, and then I got smacked. So
in Detroit, though, what happened in Detroit? Give us the good story, the happy ending, if you will.
Yeah, Detroit.
Giggity.
Hey, we just did a plug for Cheerleaders. Good job. Good segue there.
Thank you.
Yeah, we knew the special teams coordinator there. We knew he was always up to something. You know, he just had a history for that, trick plays or whatever you want to do it.
He's our guy.
Yeah, so, I mean, going out there, I'm like, something look a little off. And we seen it in film. At the last second, I seen that their 1 and 2 is farther out than they normally have them out.
Right.
So I'm, like, looking around, and I just said, let me take a step to the left. And I took a step to the left.
To the left.
And it's almost like, I don't know, I just knew instantly. As soon as it came off his foot, it's in the air. My eyes got big. I'm just sitting there. It felt like forever.
But that thing was suspended forever.
I thought they was going to clean me up again, but... Yeah, I said, no, I'm not dropping it. At least,
do you guys notice like body language in the kicker too? Like, is that something that you guys thoroughly study in film? Like that you're saying,
I think it's kind of like soccer with a goalie, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of know his tendencies on a PK. Like you notice his tendencies on how he's lining up, and then, like you said, with the 1 and the 2.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate for the audience like what the 1 and the 2 are?
Yeah.
On
the onside kick? So the 1 and 2 is typically like the safety and the contained player. They're the farthest outside of the number, the only two that can be outside the numbers. But I mean, in terms of the kicker, his track was like he went straight at the ball for like 2 steps, slowed down, and did like a loop, almost like in soccer. Looped his like it'll be probably his right, yeah, his probably his right leg, and kicked it straight up to me. So I mean, it's just little stuff like that. You'll see that the last second. I mean, typically teams don't really do that many onside kicks, hopefully. But him, it was so easy to tell. You see it instantly, like, okay, yeah. Your antenna go up, so you got to get ready for them.
There's also a little sense, you know, just a sense of what's happening, you know, because you're a football player and you know the game.
Yeah.
And you can kind of sense when something's not right or something's getting ready to be different.
Right.
I have a question for you. It seemed in the Jacksonville game, that they just did not handle the ball very well. They did, they could not handle the conditions of the wind and the cold and the rain. When I played ball, back when dinosaurs played football, we would practice in the rain to prepare for the rain. We would practice in the cold to prepare for the cold.
Right.
We didn't have indoor facilities. You all have indoor facilities now. What is it that you all have done or doing to help prepare for bad conditions like that? There's something, because you guys handled, the Eagles handled the ball very well. Only turned it over one time. And there was a couple of, you know, miss handles, but the ball didn't get turned over, not like Jacksonville. You were prepared for that weather. You were prepared for the wet. What are you guys doing? Because I know you go inside when it's raining. You don't go outside and practice in the rain to prepare for the rain. I know you go inside when it's cold. You don't practice in the cold. What is it that you guys do to help you prepare for that kind of weather?
I mean, Coach Nick, he tells the equipment managers before, you know, whether it's 7-on or, you know, over SD or special teams, to wet the balls. Like, he sprays the footballs with water before every play, you know, just so, you know, it's the nature of the game. You know, you got to get ready for it. I mean, in terms of DB, you know, during indies, instead of getting elongated with our back covers and our step, it's more like almost short and choppy because, you know, you got to keep your feet under yourself so you don't slip. Little stuff like that.
But I heard that Jacksonville was practicing in the storm down in Florida last week. Like, I don't know why they weren't prepared for it.
Because it wasn't cold?
Maybe it was cold.
It was freezing. I could, like I said, I could see that. They were, they didn't want to be out there.
But to me, it wasn't freezing. I was, you know, I was here in the area, outside, and to me, that was perfect, actually, conditions. Well, not conditions necessarily, but perfect, a perfect temperature for football.
I think, though, it could be very chilling after a while, and I'm not sure that, like, the benches had heat. I don't know. Do you guys have heat on the benches? Oh, they did have heat on the benches?
Yeah, we did.
Hey, I have a question. So I always like when we have a wide receiver and a cornerback on the show. Irv played back in the days when...
It's a flashback. When your father came and was at camp.
Oh, my God. Guys, let me get to it.
There we go.
Jump in the run sheet.
How are you just going to just steal my thunder? That's... I was there, not you.
Have you met Quimby?
Look at his eyes.
You ready?
I can answer that any way you want. I'm going to let you slide because your mom is here today.
Thank you.
I think she's on the slots.
So, Zach, we do want to talk about quite the family pedigree when it comes to athletics.
I didn't know about it, though.
Okay.
All right. Your father, Garrick, earned a tryout with the New England Patriots in 1988 as a defensive back while
I was there.
Our own Irving Fryer was in New England.
That's crazy.
As a wide receiver.
I'm old, Doc. I'm old. I'm 60 years old.
He doesn't need to hear that about his father.
No, I said I'm old. I didn't say his father's. I'm old. I'm 60 years old.
Your mother, Kim, played in the National Women's Football League. Your older brother, Garrick, played for the Vigiants.
For the who?
The Vigiants.
Come on.
What?
That's a Green Legion radio spin.
Look, it's your show. Go ahead.
Thank you. The Vigiants. I'll finish again. Played for University of Illinois as well. Spent some time with the Brewers organization, I believe, also. Emmanuel played at University of Mexico. Jeremiah played at IUP.
Yeah.
Wow. Joshua played at Penn State. Matthew was a fourth-round pick of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Kimberly plays collegiate soccer.
Yeah.
I got two questions for you. A, is there a lot of family pressure? And B, did your family have cable growing up? What the hell?
Nah. No cables, just a lot of holes in the walls.
There was a lot of holes in my walls too, man. Yeah. But they weren't for professional athletes.
So we're just beating the crap out of each other. What are those conversations like between all of the siblings? You know?
Now it's a little different, but I would say, like, growing up, it was just like everybody was so competitive. Like, I can't like explain the type of vibes that were around the house. Like, we were competing over who eat first, shower first, like
who finished dinner first,
who finished, you know, all that. So it's weird, and I don't know. I just guess that's the environment we were raised around. You know, led by our parents and our older brothers. You know, seeing how successful they are.
Is there pressure? Like, do you feel pressure if, like, your older siblings are succeeding and going off to big name colleges, and they're going to the Brewers or the Diamondbacks, and you know, you see the success that they're having. And like,
hey,
like,
we're happy to not see anybody play hockey. That's all we know.
Yeah.
I mean, the Flyers could use you too. I mean, we're a little bit desperate for scoring.
Put
right
some
now.
Skates on.
Yeah. But is there pressure? Like, do you feel that? Like, I don't know where you're at within the family tree. Like, are you in the middle? You're one of the younger ones.
Yeah, I'm the youngest boy. So, I mean, growing up, I was the oddball. So, I don't know. I wasn't the big, like, my family, like, they, if you see them, they all cut up. Like, growing up, I was the skinny one. I was into sports, but, I mean, it was whatever. But
you probably have the best hair in the family, at least. At least you could probably stake claim to that.
Yeah, my
well, that's, really it, you don't want Chris to take off his hat. And, you know, there's three domes on this panel.
I look like Don Flamingo from Knockout.
Zach, is there a best athlete? Like, how would you rank your family? Like, best athlete to, like, are you the best player?
Yeah, I'd say the best player.
Okay.
Now I would, for sure.
Okay.
Hold on a second. You guys at the McPherson Thanksgiving dinner, if you're listening, we apologize for any,
it's a great point.
Like, instigation we just caused.
Like, did you guys ever play a football game with your family?
Every Thanksgiving growing up, we had a community Thanksgiving turkey. Like a turkey bowl in the neighborhood.
So did your family
play
together?
Did you ever knock one of your brothers out?
Your family plays together?
Yeah, we was all together.
So you win all of those games?
Yeah, we was a house in the neighborhood that everybody would come play with. Like the whole neighborhood.
Yo, I would have been scared of being hit by your mom. I mean, your mom played in a professional football league.
I would have stayed home.
I'm sure she probably laid the lumber.
Yeah, she was in the house cooking because it was Thanksgiving, but my dad and them was out there, pops and all that.
No, she was in the house cooking, talking about, y'all don't want me to come out there.
Right.
don't have me come out there.
Yo, get that six-hour turkey. Yeah. Keep mom in the house.
Does your family come to games now?
Oh, yeah. Cause it's right down the road. Oh, like an hour and a half.
Were they there on Sunday?
No, I told them not to come because of the rain. Yeah.
That's good looking out right there.
Save me some money on tickets.
Yeah, that's true.
It's all right. We'll talk to Frank and see if he can't slide a few more your way.
And how is that now? I know that's a can be an issue. Mm-hmm. You know, now that you're a professional athlete in the NFL, fourth round draft choice. Like I said, not a first rounder, but you're not a late rounder either. You're right in the middle.
Yeah.
And you have people coming at you, particularly family members coming at you all kinds of different ways.
Right.
How are you dealing with that?
Last year was a little rough because, you know, obviously, like you said, everybody want to come out. But and I kind of didn't realize it until, you know, like you see, like, your pay stubs for each game at the end of the year. And I'm like, man, like, I'm losing a couple thousand off of tickets. Like, you know, sometimes people pull out last minute, but that's still money coming out your checks.
Yep. Right.
So this year I just had to go in and lay it flat out and just tell them, like, I got to, you know, put a cut to this, you know.
Yeah, everybody thinks that players and everybody, oh, there's so many free tickets.
Right.
No. No free tickets. No.
You know why the NFL's so rich? Because the NFL knows how to make money. They don't give stuff away.
No, nothing's free. Even what's free, not free.
What do you get, two tickets now? Is it still two tickets?
Two tickets.
You have to buy anything after that. Yeah. You have to pay for it.
And nothing on the road. No freebies on the road.
Yes.
Just the nosebleeds.
How is it for you?
What's wrong with nosebleeds?
How is it for you, Zach, in Philly? Like, how would you describe Eagles fans?
Big
what's
red.
It like for you around the city?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's it like being a professional football player on a 4-0 football team right now?
I embrace it a lot. Like, these fans here, they're very dedicated. I seen that my first year here.
Committed,
and, you know, very committed, overly committed, and that's what we love though. But you know, just being on a 4-0 team, they show a lot of love. You know, we just got to keep putting on for the city. You know, and the city, they're gonna show love back.
When I played, we had to deal with the media. Now, not only do you have to deal with the media, but you have to deal with social media.
So the paparazzi of the media.
So in your opinion, how much of an influence does that have on the players?
It has a lot. I mean, you just got different voices, different people giving their opinions, good or bad. Like Coach always called it rat poison. So like we obviously 4-0 right now. Everybody online telling you how good you are. But I mean, we see it every year. Teams go 8-0 and then lose the rest of the half season. So it's like, what good does it do for you? You just beat yourself.
Right.
What do you do to try to avoid it if you can?
Stay off social media.
Yeah. What do you do? But we're millennials. I mean, it's hard to stay on social media.
How do you do that? Turn your phone off?
No, I wouldn't say turn your phone off because obviously, like Twitter, and that's how I get my news. I don't watch the news. Like, you know, nowadays.
That's how you found out you were a special team player of the week.
Yeah, that's like
social media.
Right. But anything negative, I just like. On Twitter, you can click the three dots at the top and say, I'm not interested. So it don't even pop up on my timeline, nothing Eagles-wise. You know what I'm saying?
Filter out the negativity.
Yeah.
Zach, two-part question here. One, what's the biggest difference between your first year in the NFL and your second year in the NFL? And the second one, what's the biggest difference between Coach Sirianni and year one going into year two?
First year to second year for me, I definitely say, like, I'm way more comfortable. Like, my first year, I'm swimming. Like, I feel like I'm learning, but, like, I'm learning, but I'm keeping on drowning. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the just the preparation going in game to game, it's, like, so in-depth. It's like studying for an SAT day in and day out. And, like, I just felt like I couldn't really stay afloat. I felt like, you know, I'm still an athlete, so it keep me around with the guys, and I could still play, but I still didn't feel like I could be the best me. Second year, like, I got a better understanding of the playbook. I can be me out there, you know, and have fun playing the games like it was in college. In terms of Coach Sirianni, I love him to death. Like, this whole year, like, he got even more of a swagger to him. Like, if you already know him already, he got some swag to him. But now,
if that Jets game didn't set the tone,
and I love him. You know, he rides.
That might have been the best, scary play to gel a team.
When Jalen got hit.
Yeah. Everybody was furious. Man.
Furious.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, hey, do not f with our man.
Not at all. And he wasn't having it. That's what I love about it.
Especially Quincy Williams, who, you know, we'll get into him. We'll get into him when Dave's not around.
He's getting some national exposure. He's on Pat McAfee tomorrow, too.
Yeah.
Big time.
Really?
Yeah, Nick Sirianni's going to be with Pat
McAfee.
Oh,
Nick. I thought Quincy Williams.
No one cares about the Jets.
Hey, let's do this. We got to take another break. We're not even going to go to a live read right now because we're a little bit over. We have one more segment, everybody, with Philadelphia Eagles defensive back, Mr. Zach McPherson. We've got a nice crowd out here at Live Casino in South Philadelphia. This is the Green Legion Radio Players Show on Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia. We'll be back right after this.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
All right, everybody, Green Legion Radio Player Show from Live Casino in South Philadelphia. I have made a mistake here, and Jeff Quinn was happy to point it out. It's Echelon Health and Fitness coming to Audubon, not Audubon Health and Fitness. Just so everybody knows.
Just glad the spice is paying attention.
Who said come on?
You got the names right.
All right, you're not getting the check next week.
You got the names right, though, right?
Then I'm not coming.
You got the names right?
It's all right, we don't need you.
Diaz can produce.
No, he can.
Everybody, Echelon Health.
Apparently he can, actually.
Echelon Health and Fitness, located in Voorhees, New Jersey, voted best gym in South Jersey 5 years in a row. Membership starting at $8.99 per month. Family and locally owned, indoor track, newest cardio and strength training equipment, 3 studios, indoor pool, whirlpool, and even a dry sauna, and a kids club. Over 100 group fitness and Thrive personal training sessions. MBSC Thrive personal training, considered the best group training in the country, and is exclusively offered in South Jersey at Echelon Health and Fitness. Member perks: Echelon members saving over 800 local businesses simply by being an active member. Coming to Audubon in early 2022, that'll be Echelon Health and Fitness in Audubon, New Jersey. Call 856-454-2976. That's 856-454-2976 for a free 30-day all-access pass, or go to echelonhf.com. That's echelonhealthfitnesshf.com. Everybody, Green Legion Radio Player Show, our final segment with Eagles defensive back, Mr. Zach McPherson.
I think he's I would call him a cornerback, not a defensive back. You don't play safety. Like, if you had to play safety, would you even know how to play safety? Do you know the calls?
Yeah, I know the calls.
All right, good. Yeah. So I was right. Shut up, Dave.
Well, wait. should Quimby call you a cornerback or a defensive back?
I like defensive back. I'm sound more athletic.
Uh-oh.
Ow!
All right, Quimby.
I stand corrected.
Dave,
correct.
You're going to start calling
Diaz. I'll take the L.
Zach, I want to ask one question, and I'm going to leave it up to the rest of my panel for the until we get to the top of the hour. One of the elements I feel like this team had been missing for the last, I don't even want to try to speculate, but it was an opportunistic D. defense. And this defense right now is extremely opportunistic. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on it, your thoughts about the locker room, your thoughts about practice with the defense, your thoughts about the overall attitude right now, because it has to be pretty freaking awesome, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Please, your thoughts.
In the big picture, just looking at it from, led by what Coach Gannon's bringing and Denard and the whole D staff, it's just the mentality that we have going this year. And Coach, like, Denard kind of hit on it the other day. And I didn't really realize it, sometimes you just find yourself just, in a gaze or whatever. But, playing with guys like BG and Fletch, guys that's, that's going to be, when they hang the cleats up, they're going to be well-respected around, Might even be blessed enough to be a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
And, the mentality that they bring alone, they just do everything right. And it just affects, it's contagious to everybody. So that's what I was saying. That's the kind of the mindset we go into with every game is, we know we can be. We know the standard that we can play at. And it's just, it's all on us,
Right now, the whole world, anybody who's paying any attention to football, NFL football, the Eagles
is
are
afraid.
Yeah, the Eagles are the team.
Yep.
The Eagles are the team to beat right now.
Yeah.
When I played ball, when we went into the film room, whatever day you guys go on, it was on Monday for us, and we watched the game, right, whether we won or whether we lost. You guys are winning games now, so everybody's feeling good about what's going on. You're actually, everybody's talking well.
Right.
But you go in and you watch the film. When you lose a game, you didn't play. You on the film, you didn't play as bad as you thought you did.
Right.
And when you win the game, you watch the film, but you didn't play as good as you felt you did or thought you did.
Right.
How is this team seeing themselves right now? How is the team, the Eagles, seeing themselves? Because you're winning. Everybody sees you 4-0,
right,
and you're the greatest right now.
Right.
But when you go into the film room, the eye in the sky doesn't lie.
Don't lie, yeah. I mean, you guys see probably the interviews of us in the locker room when Jalen's talking. And he said, for the past 4 games, he's been saying it, we've yet to play to our standard. And, we've seen it through camp. We've seen, we know the guys that we have. And it's, it's so true. I mean, to the naked eye, you probably wouldn't know. But, I mean, it's a true statement. We really haven't played to our standard. And it's just crazy because, we only going to get better. And, when it's time to play our best ball, and we're going to be there and we're going to be prepared to do so, when it counts.
Nice.
Zach, you've talked about with James and with Slay. And I know you talk about the way they prepare themselves professionally. Is that why they're so great? Slay is such an interesting character to me. He has so much fun all the time.
Right.
That's such a great friend. And meanwhile, James is the quiet assassin.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what sets them apart? Their work ethic, their preparation?
Yes, they're worth that work ethic. The way they approach the game, I keep on saying, I don't want to sound cliche, but it's so true. You just see how they respect the game, they put so much time in, and everything they do, they're always inviting others to do so. They always in reaching out an extra hand, an extra arm.
But doesn't everybody put that kind of time in?
I mean, yeah, for sure.
Eric Irving shaking his head no.
No, you have guys who are talented. Like
right.
Slay, he's a talented and he's got swag. He's got
right.
that confidence.
Yeah.
He knows that he can shut a guy down. He knows that he can play the game. He knows
yeah.
his spot in the NFL. He knows he has a spot in history. Even
yeah.
It's almost like he's clairvoyant with this whole thing. It's just
mm-hmm.
it's clear to see
yes.
in how he carries himself. But then you have others who just don't get it, and they're kind of swept along in the wave of the consistency and the talent and the ability of everyone else. They kind of go along for the ride.
Yeah, that's so true. He has a good point.
Do you think, Zach, that you're a natural, great, instinctive cornerback? Or do you have to work at
defensive back?
Defensive back.
Uh-oh.
As Irving said, some guys are just very, very naturally. Deion Sanders, incredible athlete.
Right.
I'm sure he worked at it too, but he could still be great maybe. Could you be great if you didn't work at it as hard as you do?
That's such a hard question. I mean, like you say, you got Deion Sanders, he's so talented. He probably, could not watch film and still go out there and lock up the best receiver in the game. But I mean, honestly, that can only take you so far. I mean, for some people, they can probably prove that wrong, but I definitely say you still have to work on your craft each and every day. I mean, it's the NFL. Everybody good. You know what I'm saying? Nobody here is below average. So
for sure,
you to be your best yourself, you know, you got to always be crafting.
Zach, without I know you guys are going to watch film tomorrow on the upcoming opponent, the Arizona Cardinals. Without watching the film ahead of time, can you tell us a little bit about what you already know about the Arizona Cardinals and their offense and what you're going to be going up against this weekend?
Yeah, obviously, live by the quarterback, Kyler.
Can you reach the Crispix? Yes, I can.
You know about their quarterback, Kyler, and, you know, the receiving corps that they got, and, you know, the running back that they got. You know, they have a good offense.
What
know?
Receiver corps is that?
Hollywood, AJ.
Hollywood, huh?
Zach Ertz.
AJ and Ertz, yeah.
They don't have, so DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins is not there.
And I think Rondale Moore isn't back yet.
They lost Christian Kirk.
Yeah, lost Christian. And they got
Hollywood is the only one they're really throwing to. I mean,
yeah.
You know, let's be honest. Zach's yak, you know.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Zach is still a good tight end. Don't listen to Quimby.
It's just, I guess they got the combination with the running quarterback that, you know, a running quarterback can get anybody open. You know, you just, but we not going in there playing on our heels. Coach, again, already established that. So,
being that you're going up against a playmaker like Kyler Murray, is there a benefit to playing against Jalen Hurts every day in practice?
Yeah, we plaster it. We call it plastering. You know, we work scramble drill in every drill. 7-on-7, we still work on scramble drill. Like, 7-on-7, there's no O-line or D-line. We still working on scramble drill. He's still extending plays. I think that's something we are really good at.
And that helps to prepare you, because you have that kind of look on a daily basis that helps to prepare you for seeing someone like
Kyler. And some people don't understand how much that gets you in shape. Like, running like an extra 4 or 5 seconds covering somebody, not looking at the quarterback, it definitely works on it.
Zach, I just wanted to follow up. So, do you put extra emphasis on it when you go up against an opponent like Kyler rather than your Jared Goffs or Trevor Lawrence's?
I don't know. Jared Goff's the only quarterback that had his way with the Eagles so far this season.
Highest scoring football team in the league?
Hey.
Well, but, yeah.
I mean, yeah, with a quarterback like Kyler, I mean, obviously, like, you got to respect his legs. I mean, he's a talented runner. Like, when he got the ball in hand, he can run, he can make some plays.
Saw that Raiders game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got your antennas going up.
Hold on. LOL Raiders.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I'm not a Raiders fan either.
No, that's fine.
I like them about as much as I like Penn State fans.
Last question for me is just take us inside the life of Zach McPherson. Day off. Today's supposed to be a day off for the players. What did you do today?
Whoa.
He woke up and said, damn it, I promised Dave I'd come on this show tonight.
I guess you could tell us none of our business as
I mean, I don't want to go there, but I've been moving all day, so, I mean, I changed the apartment style. You know how that goes, moving all your stuff. And I had a situation where, you know what I'm saying, I just thought it was best to move. You know, my car got jacked, sadly.
What?
So whoever listening, if you stole my car,
bring it back.
Kindly.
What happened? Where? From where?
I have no idea. I just know it's not where I parked it at.
Oh, man.
In this climate, too? Damn it.
You know, if you really like Quimby, who thought that he drove, what, your car down to the airport the one time, and it was actually at your apartment because you took the Uber to the airport? Did you?
No, I forgot that I drove my car to the airport, and I took an Uber home.
What happened to my car? I was about to call the cops.
By the way, part of the show is if you have an interception return for a touchdown on Sunday in Arizona, Quimby will give you his car.
You can have my car for the next week.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Which actually, hey, this might be a sign.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. This might be a sign.
This might be the first Green Legion bump of the season.
Yeah.
Zach, please, take my car.
Look out, Kyler, because Zach's coming for you.
It's a nice car, too.
Okay. Hold on. Because of the situation,
it's the caravan.
No. Let's. I like the fact. Well, hold on. Let's put a little bit more juice in this game. All right. I don't need the car. All right. So if it's an INT 4-6, if it's pick 6, you can have it for 2.
There we go.
2. Okay.
If it's just an INT or forced fumble, anything that gets the birds the ball back, it's a week.
All right. I'll hold you to it.
No, actually,
you don't have to worry about holding him to it. We'll hold him to it.
And it's recorded right now.
Yeah.
So,
I'm good with that.
Yeah, chance
Boston
cut
Scott,
that.
Boston Scott did it a couple years ago. So, it has happened, and it could happen again.
And he put 1,800 miles on there, and he left a couple blocks on the pedals.
That's so he can reach the pedals.
Hey, thanks, Irv.
Zach, thank you so much for coming out, man. Really appreciate you having.
Yeah, appreciate us.
Thank you. Go Phillies, Zach. Keep up the great work.
And as always, man, continued health and success on the field, my friend, and off the field.
Never. Appreciate it. Thanks so much, Zach.
Thank you, get that car back.
You guys, Zach McPherson, he's going to be here for photos for a couple minutes. This is the Green Legion Radio Player Show. We still have an hour to go. We're going to talk the entire game, break down the box score, all kinds of stuff here on Fox Sports The Gambler from Live Casino in South Philadelphia. Everybody, we'll be back right after this. Radio Players Show from Live Casino here every Tuesday night from 8 to 10. Sorry about that. We had a little hiccup on the sound, but our boy Max is taking care of it, as he always does. All right, you guys. Well, now we have an opportunity to really dive into the game. Super Sam Brady is back.
Mrs. Brady we can just use from now on.
Here we go. We know. We already know.
She's conceded.
That's it. Me and him, we're going to ride off together in the sunset. Everything's going to be fine. Don't worry about it.
And if you could, Dave, for us, please, can you start off with injury report? What do we need to be concerned about?
Well, I think it sounds like there's nothing long term. There are reports that the Eagles are going to add a kicker to the 53-man roster in case Jake can't kick this weekend. Jordan Mailata, you know, we'll see a little bit more tomorrow and Thursday. Nothing long term with the shoulder. Slay, sounds like he's going to go. Avante Maddox, hopeful to play on Sunday. So I know there was a lot of concern after the game that maybe these injuries are kind of the start of something, but I don't think any of them are serious. And maybe somebody misses a game, but it's really, the Eagles, knock on wood here, have been very fortunate through four games.
Good, good. All right, so let's talk about this defense. We had an opportunity.
I'm dying to. Because I know everybody felt about Jonathan Gannon last year, so I'm really excited to talk about.
Well, we actually felt the same about Jonathan Gannon in week one, but like we talked about, obviously everything is progressing. Now that we're in week five, all right, preseason's over. All right, any conceptions that, you know, you had, you didn't have a normal preseason anymore. Now you're through the first 3 weeks, and you know now we're into it, and yes. It's good to see, but defense only gave up 14, and their missed fumble recovery from only giving up 7. Once again, it's pretty impressive. They are extremely opportunistic. They're fun to watch. I got a question. I want to throw it to Dave first, and then Irv, and then to Zach. Is Trevor? The Jaguars came in and they were being heralded a little bit. Even though their division kind of sucks, let's be completely honest. Is Trevor Lawrence good, and we made him look bad, or talk to me?
I think a lot of things to factor into it. Look, Jacksonville won the week earlier in L.A. It was the first time they won back-to-back games in like 18 months. Over 1,000 days had. Had gone by since they won back-to-back games.
Not just a win, a spanking.
Right. So they flew from Jacksonville to L.A., back to Jacksonville, and then to Philadelphia. So it's very difficult to put three games back-to-back-to-back for a young team still learning how to win. That said, the Eagles showed confidence, poise. The front seven really put a lot of pressure on Trevor Lawrence. I don't know if he has small hands or what it is, like,
Kenny Pickett?
He really struggled holding on to the ball.
Yeah, the snap. He missed the snap. He just had a couple balls just fly out of his hands. It was weird. So I don't know. I still think everybody believes Trevor Lawrence is going to be a star. But he didn't handle the pressure well at all. That again, though, I think the Eagles are really good defensively. And I think when you have a secondary with a lot of defensive backs like Zach McPherson, who are just good players, quarterback has to hold on to it. Quarterback's eyes drop, and they see the pressure. And the Eagles are bringing the pressure. And Reddick is winning one-on-ones, and inside Fletcher's winning one-on-ones, and Brandon Graham's winning one-on-ones. Irv, you know,
well, that's
if your receivers ain't getting open, the quarterback's not, doesn't have a chance.
They're not getting open, and actually, John Gannon is able to do what he is planned to do or consistently does, game in and game out, and he's able to get pressure most of the time on the quarterback with a four-man rush, opposed to blitzing and doing all kinds of intricate things. That's what he wants to do, because with that defensive backs, with all those linebackers, they're able to cover all the holes and keep that quarterback's in the pocket with the ball in his hand. It gives the four men rushing time to get to the quarterback.
I don't think people should go with the idea that the Eagles are all of a sudden changing the
No, they haven't. They're getting pressure on the quarterbacks. They're creating these turnovers with a four-man rush most of the time. Trevor Lawrence just seemed to be out of sorts to me. I don't know if it had anything to do with all the traveling, all those games, you know, back and forth, with distractions or whatever it was. But once he fumbled that ball when he took off running and it just fell out of his hands, he was never the same after that.
That was the play. They're leading 14-0.
Right.
They're at the Eagles' 34-yard line, I believe. It was 4th-and-3. He rolls out. There's no pressure on him. Ball just falls out of his hands. Eagles recover it. Game
You can see his whole countenance.
So was it the weather? We're being asked from the bar? Yeah. I mean, I guess it was the weather or the pressure or whatever.
Well, the ball was wet. The ball was wet because of the weather. The ball was wet because of the weather. But he just, you could see it. I saw it. At least I could see it.
But everybody knew. Everybody knew for days that it was going to rain. And everybody prepared. I was told the Jags practiced in the rain. So what? Like what? Where'd that come from? I don't know. Is that to answer your question?
Well, I'm
sorry. Were you answering it the entire time? I was working on some technical issues.
Well, can I say this? Sometimes, and you hate. I hate to say this. It didn't happen to me that much. Just once or twice or three times during 17 years in my playing time. Sometimes you're just not right. Sometimes you're just off, and you can't seem to fix
or
it.
Or sometimes you know that the quarterback before you got nailed 9 times.
Well, I don't know if that has anything to
hold on. It absolutely does.
Internally,
and you know what? I want to hear that from you.
What?
I want to hear that from you. Because I believe that a Tom Brady run team, a Tom Brady led team, wins half their battles before it even starts.
Of course.
Right, okay, Tony? Then you have to give credit where credit is due here.
Of course.
Right now, this Eagles defense, especially that front four, is feared.
But because
guess what? If that is what happens, if a little bit of instilling fear into a quarterback prior to causes him to cough the ball up a couple times, I'm good with it.
Of course, and it causes that mentality and countenance to change into a negative countenance where he's not able to get it together, where he's not able to pull it together and function as he needs to with the leader of that offense.
Wouldn't that trigger you to release the ball prematurely rather than hold on to it longer?
It would trigger you to do all kinds of crazy stuff instead of
hold on to it longer.
Yeah. It'll trigger you to do all kinds of crazy stuff.
What I love is the conversation that the Eagles' defense is having such an impact on quarterbacks. Carson Wentz holds the ball too long.
Carson Wentz is just Carson Wentz.
I understand. So in your opinion, Irv, is the Eagles' defense really taking steps forward, or is it because of the quarterbacks that we've seen the last couple of weeks?
I believe that the whole team is taking steps forward, and they're getting better every. And you could hear it from McPherson, Zach, when he was here, how the team looks at the film. Even though they won the game, they know they're not playing their best football, but because they're able to handle teams the way they're handling teams, they have a confidence going into the next game that, man, we're just going to get better, that we can play better than this, that we're actually better than our record shows.
It's a different animal this week, too. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. You wanted this one. And the different animal right now is Hassan Reddick. The guy is a man playing possessed, and it seemed as though in the first game he had his hands tied just a little bit by the defensive scheme. Now it doesn't matter. This guy's all over the place. This guy is worth
every
bit and more of the contract that we paid him. And I was nervous about it because, you know, of the 23 sacks that he's had over the last two seasons, 5 of them are against the Giants, which in one game. And I was, but this guy is literally outside of his mind, and I dig that.
Can I ask you a question on top of that? So if you're going to put a spy on Kyler Murray this week, is it going to be Hassan Reddick or is it going to be somebody else?
It's going to be T.J. Edwards.
So it's really interesting. Like, go research what the Cardinals have done in four games. Don't think that the Cardinals' this offense is what we saw early last year.
It's not even close.
This offense has been lousy this year. They don't have DeAndre Hopkins, big loss. The offensive line, not great. The run game, and Kyler Murray, he isn't running the football. He has 91 yards rushing. Like,
thank you, Dave.
Still a lot of broken plays.
I think LeSean McCoy said it somewhere, wherever he's doing broadcast. He called him a high school quarterback. He's just like a runaround quarterback. After signing that big, now he can certainly break out of it, and who knows? But after signing that big contract, he's regressed. They've been absolutely terrible in the first half of games this year.
I thought it was hilarious how everybody was overreacting after the first couple weeks with Hassan Reddick. I mean, we said all along when all these moves were being made by Howie in the offseason, we said it. Jonathan Gannon had all these brand new toys, and you have to figure out how to deploy them, how to use them. And that's what he's done the last couple weeks. Reddick is using his one-on-ones, but the way he's using it, like, especially now, how they utilize T.J. Edwards, they have the ability to utilize him the way that they do and send him up the middle for the blitzes on the blitz packages that they have, because they have another linebacker out there like Kaiser White that could do the jobs that he was supposed to be doing last year with Alex Singleton, front of the program. It's a little bit of a different beast, and this year he's using that, and I think the last few weeks we've seen those toys be deployed a little bit differently.
But when I got it, I understand the first week Eagles, you know, after the second quarter, the second half was just a tough defense. But the way the Eagles played against Minnesota, to me, that was the most impressive defensive performance so far.
Oh, God, yeah.
Against that group of pass catchers, Dalvin Cook and the skills that he has.
Jefferson was held to, what, 54 yards?
Take the football away three times from Kirk Cousins. I mean, and they didn't sack him. They just got pressure up the middle. They forced him. He didn't have anywhere to step up, and they forced him to throw the football into coverage. And Slay was incredible. So, I mean, I think the Eagles' defense is going to get better and better. They're still not quite there yet, and that's probably the most exciting part of this whole season.
Not only are they...
Russ Taylor from our StreamYard room, brand new toys like Christmas morning and flexing your new action figures into your army. Love it.
Not only are they containing these teams, they're shutting them down completely, and that's a scary thing.
But the thing about it, again, is they're getting so much... The front four are playing so well right now that when they send one of those linebackers, they can't handle it. Offensive lines just are not able to handle it because of the pressure that the front four are getting on that getting on the quarterback.
And to add on top of that, we are now starting to see a progression of Jordan Davis,
yes,
who had a much better game on Sunday.
He manhandled the center on that one play.
Yeah, I think I'm
at fault here, all right, because I wanted immediate gratification. But now,
with everything in life,
hold on. we're not done with this show yet tonight, right?
What are you going to do? Should I move my seat?
You should.
Giggity.
Hold on, Slash, come over here.
I'm happy with this progression. You're seeing him get better. He had a tackle for a loss. He had four tackles. He's starting to get more involved, and the more he gets involved, and the better he becomes. Oh God, this.
The more Gannon can play with his toys. Yeah.
Exactly.
And
there it is.
And the great thing is the Eagles don't need Jordan Davis to come in and be great right away. He can learn. He can develop. They have a five-man rotation to tackle. They don't need N'Kobe Dean to come in and be a starter right away. He's learning. Kaiser White is a perfect fit for what the Eagles want on the weak side.
What they needed.
Yeah, it's just James Bradbury. I mean, I think Slay said it best. How in the world?
Jeez.
How in the world did the New York Giants allow Bradbury to leave that team? How in the world?
I have an answer for that. Because they're the New York Giants.
Jesus. I guarantee you, Kenny Golladay goes to another team
that Frumpy Manning had two titles under him is still beyond me. All right, it pisses me off to this day. They're not a well-run organization. The stadium sucks. It's on a swamp. The Jets suck. Giants suck. Everything in New York sucks.
They're in New Jersey.
Wound them up. I pushed the button. I pushed the Quimby button.
We're not even playing them this week. Settle down.
And by the way, and then C.J. Gardner-Johnson comes in,
And yes. And
he's pissed.
And he fits right in. And the Eagles, Irv, you tell me what the difference between Latinell, no offense to these players, but Rodney McLeod was dragging a knee around last year. Anthony Harris, not the great athlete. Mm-hmm. Marcus Epps, a Green Legion alum.
Human torpedo.
And C.J. Gardner-Johnson are so much more athletic. What does that mean to a defense?
Well, that means you can do more with the defense, meaning the defense is faster. The defense can adjust. Even if you get in a bad position, if a safety gets in a bad position or a corner gets in a bad position with a wide receiver or a running back, they have the athletic ability to make up the difference unless the ball is in the perfect place. So with that new talent and the added ability, it just allows you to move people around and do more.
For a hot second, let's jump off the defense for a moment, because sure. I want to talk a little bit about Jalen Hurts. And
what is to say about
well,
him?
Well, I mean,
he's good. He's good.
You could say that pick six.
Yes.
By the thong song wasn't Jalen's fault.
How dare he throw that pick?
But
six.
He did try to thread the needle there.
But do you know why?
Hold on. All right.
The thong song and the Giants. This is Quimby. Let's cut this and promo this.
Cisco intercepted that ball. You do know that, right? Cisco.
We want to talk about that whole
thong
song.
I know. I can sing every lyric to that song.
Brown didn't make the tackle either. Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, I'm not going to say anything negative about Jalen trying to get that ball in that small space, because he had the confidence to throw it.
Totally with you.
He didn't have the confidence before. He believed he could get that ball there. So I'm not going to say anything negative about him. I made catches in my career that I had no business making, but I made them because I believed I could do it. The ball was in a small space, and I went up and got it because I believed I could do it.
Use the force, Herb.
So Jalen has the confidence now that he can throw that ball in there like that. Then when the ball was intercepted, I'm going to finish now. Give me a second. There was a small lack of effort, as far as I'm concerned, from A.J. Brown. I think he could have stopped that touchdown.
And we're going to talk about that more.
Let's talk about that, please. Yes. Let's
everybody, here at Live Casino, Ron Jaworski's $100,000 football challenge. Make your picks against Ron Jaworski each week for your chance to win Jaws tickets to the big game and over $100,000 in prizes. Pick the winning teams each week. To be a weekly winner, there will be over 250 winners for the season. Visit livecasinophilly.com for details. That's livecasinophilly.com for details. Game days at Live. Head to Live Casino in Hotel Philadelphia for every Eagles game for the ultimate game day watch party experience. Catch the Eagles in action, plus enjoy food and drink specials, giveaways, special alumni appearances, and more. Irv, will you be there for the Sunday night Cowboys game?
Yes, I will be there for Sunday.
Will you be here?
Yes, I'll be right here. We have a good time. It's a great environment. We're engaging with the audience, all the participants. We go through EAGLES Eagles 17 times.
Excellent. Good. You guys, this is the Green Legion Radio Player Show with Slash, Dave Spadaro, Chris Sack, Irving Fryer, Super Sam Brady, Lauren, somewhere.
Right behind you.
Dancing. Around there she is. She's hiding behind the counter taking a nap. You guys, on Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia from Live Casino. We'll be back right after this. Anything dumber, you do something like this and totally redeem yourself. You get your check after playing a little Van Halen, baby. Nice work, sir.
Surprised you didn't play the thong song.
I know, right?
That's next.
Thank you for not playing the thong song.
That's just next. Wait.
Yep, I told you, it's next.
Damn it.
It's next.
Everybody, just as your local State Farm agent combines good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates, you can combine your home and auto, and guess what you'll get? That's right, good neighbor service. with surprisingly great rates. In fact, State Farm agent Dave Bavuso is your go-to agent for the service you deserve at the price you want. Try combining home and auto today. State Farm agent Dave Bavuso will help you mix and match things perfectly. Call 856-740-5012. That's 856-740-5012 for your surprisingly great rates. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. You guys, this is the Green Legion Radio Players Show at Live Casino in South Philadelphia. We're having a blast tonight. Eagles are 4-0, baby! Yeah.
And the Phillies are going to the playoffs!
And there he is.
Wait, who's making their return this week?
Couldn't wait.
Greg Murphy will return on this week's Bud Light Baseball Brunch. We get him back for Thursday night's recording ahead of the Phillies starting the playoffs on Friday, either in St. Louis or New York.
And we are happy to have him back.
I can't wait. It was awesome hearing him back. He was on the pre and post on Saturday down in Washington. I texted with him last night after they won the division. He's ecstatic. They made it to the playoffs as a wild card. But
only because it's Greg that we're talking about, I'm not telling you to shut up.
You gotta respect Murph, man.
Support the team. It's great for the city. It's great for all the teams to be involved. You saw Zach tonight.
Again, here we go. Now you're off, Greg. Shut up, Zach. So, here we go.
Welcome back, Greg.
All right, Greg, it is a pleasure to have you back. Irv, what do you got?
I just want to talk just for a minute, and I want Dave to back me up on this, because Dave saw me play. So I want you to nod your head
and
the whole time.
Nobody else here on the panel.
Well, he'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But if you have, then you can verify it. You can help me out.
First jersey I ever bought.
The pick six, first quarter, Jalen throws it, and the defensive back is
Cisco.
Cisco's running by AJ Brown. Now AJ Brown tweeted that he was trying to strip the ball. That's what his hesitation was.
Can't strip the ball if you're 10 feet away.
Yeah, and he actually, I watched it like 3 times. He actually took a step backwards away from Cisco, and Cisco went by him. Now, he wasn't trying to get the ball. Here's my assessment of that. As a wide receiver playing in the NFL, I love when the defensive backs intercepted the ball. I loved when it was a turnover, because it was at that time that I was able to become a heat-seeking missile, and I was able to hit them the way they hit me. And I would try to literally rip their heads off anytime I got a chance. I would try to hit them so hard that all their ancestors in the grave would get up and say, "Oh my gosh." That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to become a heat-seeking missile, not stand back. You try to rip. If you hit them hard enough, they'll give up the ball.
I'm not going to say anything. I love A.J. Brown. I'm not going to say anything negative about A.J. Brown.
I'm not saying anything negative.
All right. I'm taking a pass on that one, Irv.
I am not going to take a pass on that one, and I'm going to agree with Dave.
Oh, my gosh.
Fact is, right now, the success of this team had no bearing on a first quarter pick six.
But you don't know that at the time.
Hold on.
I do.
No, you don't know it when it happens.
A lot of rain in his eyes, a lot of wind, maybe slipped a little bit.
No. I know where Sack's going to go. I know where Irv is going.
Jordan Mailata dies and hurts his shoulder.
In the Super Bowl, and you still give him crap about Burfict all these years later. Zach Ertz never put his shoulder down into anybody when he was running with the ball after the catch.
Oh, come on,
AJ Brown does it all the time. No, bull crap. I don't want to hear it. I'll give A.J. Brown a pass on this one. You know why? Because if he becomes a heat-seeking missile and his shoulder gets separated.
The biggest mistake on that play.
Never was, separated my shoulder becoming that being the biggest, hammer, not the nail.
You never had a good enough hit.
The biggest mistake on that play was almost really not fatal, but would have been a tremendous blow to the Eagles. Jordan Mailata trying to make the tackle. Lays out, lands on the field, and pops out his shoulder. Now, what happens if that was a serious injury to tackle the guy at the 3-yard line?
He wouldn't have had to do it had A.J. Brown tackled him before then.
Look, A.J. Brown can do no wrong.
Oh, my God.
Happy days are here again.
I
need Dave to keep singing.
Yeah. Right now. All right, let's stop. Let's talk about three of the biggest free agent acquisitions this offseason. A.J. Brown, James Bradberry, and Hassan Reddick. And every single one of them are making massive plays on the field. I want them healthy.
I'm not saying they're not.
Hey, look, this is the new NFL.
All I'm saying is play the freaking football game.
I know the football game. You're old school.
If you're going to play, play the game.
You're old school.
When they get the ball, if they intercept the ball, they pick up a fumble, you become a defensive player and you stop them.
And maybe you button one more button down. I don't know. I button
mine all the way up.
Irv, I see what you're saying. If you're in the game, you're a football player. You got to make a football play. I think we're looking too much into it. The Eagles won the game, besides the fact it wasn't...
And Mr. Magoo agrees with all of this.
Little rain, little wind.
This isn't Cam Newton in the Super Bowl dodging a fumble recovery. This is week four against Jacksonville. Let's move past it.
He did dodge.
4-0. Let's move on to
Arizona. As Jalen would say, flush it and move on.
I do want to talk a little bit more about Jalen Hurts. One thing I don't want to see is my franchise quarterback running the ball 16 times. Now, I get it, bad weather. Dave, honest assessment on this. It's just, if you're running the ball 8 or 10 times, you get flushed out of the pocket.
I think, again, he took a big hit at the goal line. You do not want to see that.
Exactly. Thank you. That's where
he is a big man.
He had Kenny Gainwell wide open to the right.
And generally, he doesn't take hits. That one was a big hit. You don't want that to happen. For sure.
I got booed 2 weeks ago after the Vikings game for saying the same damn thing.
Yeah, but he wasn't taking hits.
No, because he was taking the hits at the goal line.
I have not disagreed with that ever.
Oh, my God.
No, I don't want Jalen running the ball anymore than he has to, especially now that you can see he knows how to throw the ball.
You asked me for my critique of his performance, and I said I was tired of him getting hit at the goal line by linebackers and safeties.
I just asked this guy. He wants to chime in on everything.
How much did you have to drink?
Ray's on it.
I said on Sunday.
Hold on. Don't get any closer. We don't need to hear you that much.
I said on Sunday.
We can hear you from the seat.
That's a running court. He's going to run. He's going to play. He's going to get hurt.
Most quarterbacks get hurt in the pocket. They don't get hurt out of the pocket. We've had this conversation since the days of Randall Cunningham.
Oh, God.
If you notice about Jalen, yes, he has had a couple of cheap shots on him this season. But when he's running the ball intentionally, like in the Vikings game and this past week against Jacksonville, when he knows he's getting ready to take a hit, when he initiates the contact, he's not absorbing the contact. He's the hammer and not the nail. And when you're the hammer and not the nail, you're less likely to get injured.
I'm sorry. I've always been the hammer and the nail.
But the point is, look,
because you're always doing it yourself.
I think Quimby, to answer you, I think the weather did play extenuating circumstances there. I think ideally, I don't think defenses want to see Jalen Hurts run the ball 16 times.
All right.
I think ideally, defenses want to keep him in the pocket and make him win with his arm.
Hey, Ray still has something to say. No, it's okay, though. Hold on. All right, so let's talk about something that's...
He said birds by 17 on Sunday.
Real important.
Book it.
Real important. Dave said a few years ago on our players' show at another location that Miles Sanders was a Pro Bowler. And I believe this is the season where you are finally seeing the potential of Miles Sanders. He looks phenomenal. I thought this was the statement game that we have been looking for from him since he started here. Was this his best statistical game as an Eagle?
Oh, yes, no doubt. 27 carries, 134, I believe it was.
I think it's more than
136,
that.
I think.
No, you're right, 134.
Career highs in both categories.
35 long, 2 touchdowns, average of 5 yards.
He's really following the offensive line. He's going north and south more. He's showing more patience. He's showing speed to and through the hole. So, I mean, look, with Miles, it's always just been a question of staying healthy. So you've always got to keep your fingers crossed. But he's been great. He's third in the NFL in rushing right now.
And you went from 0 touchdowns last year to 3 already.
3 already. Knows for the end zone. I mean, he's running hard. He's breaking tackles.
Hold on, Dave. I want to focus this question to Dave. He is a different running back than we have seen in the past.
I've talked to him a lot. He's talked about how focused he is now, how he's changed his approach, how he doesn't think about things on the outside. And Irv, you can speak to it more than we can. if your mind is right, it really does make a difference in your performance.
Yep. If your mind is right, that's what matters the most. You can have all the talent in the world, Carson Wentz. If your mind is not right, your body's just not going to function. You're not going to perform at your highest level. And Miles is making runs now. I saw something on ESPN, I think it was. They were showing one of the runs how he is really getting north and south, and he's making moves that are actually setting up the blocks for the offensive
good
line
patience.
And good patience, and it's developing or creating even bigger holes than he would normally have.
I mean, they're saying he put on, what, 10 to 15 pounds of muscle in the offseason? And let's also be honest here, okay? It's a contract year for Miles.
Sure.
The man wants to get paid, but whether it's here or elsewhere, the man wants to get paid. And the way that he's going to do that is, A, being successful and being really great, and B, staying on the field. He knows that now, and he's done everything to put into that mentally and physically so he can perform.
I will say a couple things. First of all, it's all about the offensive line. I mean, the Eagles have a great offensive line, and they have had success running the football, whether it's been Miles, Kenny Gainwell, Boston Scott. Trey Sermon came in, 2 carries, 19 yards on Sunday. So it's been terrific. That also, I just running backs to me in the NFL, I don't see big money being paid to running backs. They are not dimes a dozen. Because Miles is a really, really talented player.
They're so short-lived.
Their careers are so that second contract for a running back is such a risk for teams.
Zeke Elliott.
That you never know. But the thing about Miles that's really interesting is he's got such little tread usage. He didn't carry the ball a whole lot at Penn State. His touches per game in the NFL has been low. So we could be seeing the best of Miles Sanders right now. Just stay healthy. He's going to be in for a 1,200, 1,300-yard season.
Who? No, I was looking at Slash. Slash put
it. Oh, yeah. Well,
we were
wrap
about,
it up.
We were talking about Miles Sanders.
Oh, well,
thanks for joining the show.
Chris, go before we wrap it up. Now, I'll tell you, he is a key cog to this being the special season that we've seen through the first 4 weeks and it continuing. If he could stay healthy, he could stay on the field. That's a difference maker. What he can do, the game-breaking plays that he can make. And now he has all the room to run. All the room to run with that offensive line and those weapons on the outside to take all the attention away from him. And Jalen making his plays. It's incredible to think what this offense is capable of. What we're seeing defensively the first 4 weeks, especially the last three, as compared to the offense, what it can be and the potential it has.
And Dave has something to respond to that when we come back from break here on the Green Legion Radio Player Show from Live Casino. On Fox Sports, The Gambler, 102.5 FM, Philadelphia. We'll be back right after this.
Moment that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Radio Player Show from Live Casino here on Fox Sports Radio Philadelphia. Do not forget, from 1 to 2 o'clock here on the East Coast on Sunday, Irving Fryer, Michael Diaz, Super Sam Brady, and myself will be broadcasting the Fox Sports pregame show from Salt at Westgate's Entertainment Complex in Glendale, Arizona.
Wow.
At the basis of the State Farm Stadium, State Farm Insurance Stadium.
You got to deal with Diaz in Arizona?
No. Basically, what's going to happen is we're going to be on the second floor, and if he pisses us off, Irv and I are just going to hang him over.
Oh, can Irv, I help?
You're
can
heading
I
down
help?
There, huh?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
My first big away. Well, no, it's not. It's my second big away game.
Yeah, you did Vegas last year.
Yes, Vegas.
1 to 2 o'clock. 1 to 2 o'clock here on the East Coast. Make sure you listen in. It's going to be a fun show. We have only 1,200 people at our tailgate at Salt in Glendale.
Only 1,200?
Only 1,200.
Only.
So modest.
How many people do you think, Quimby, will be Eagles fans in the stadium? What percentage? Like how Washington was outrageous.
It always is.
Will we feel a tremendous home vibe?
Well,
in Glendale, Arizona?
You have to remember that the Arizona Cardinals did not sell tickets to opposing fan groups. They would not allow that to happen. So it does inhibit a little bit the ability to create some sort of, big momentum going in. But keeping in mind at the same time that Arizona and Phoenix, specifically, or Scottsdale, the Rock Bar on Craftsman Court in Old Town Scottsdale, is one of the largest Eagles fan groups outside of the city that exists. They are huge, huge. My man Ray runs it. Ray Passera runs this, and Alex, the owner of Rock Bar. They are committed to Philadelphia Eagles. They have 1,000 people in there every Sunday or every game day. It's huge. It is one of our favorite places to go.
It's an awesome bar. You absolutely 100% feel like you are in Philadelphia when you're in there. It was amazing.
Except it's beautiful, dry, and warm.
That, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Dry.
I don't think the Cardinals are a particularly good team. But it's just a really hard road trip.
It's always a hard road trip.
We leave out of Philly at 1 o'clock on Saturday. We've tried leaving on Fridays. We leave at 1 o'clock on Saturday. You know, there's a 3-hour time difference, so you want to keep yourself on that 1 o'clock feel. And it's a 5-hour trip, and albeit it is a charter. But for some reason, the Eagles have just not won there in a really long time.
It's just hard. Particularly when you're traveling across the country. It's hard to go across the country and win an away football game.
Is it because
game.
You don't get a good night's sleep or it's, something? Like, what is it?
That has something to do with it. It's the time change. There are a lot of different things. I can't put my finger on all of them,
I could put a finger on one of them.
To go across the country.
And our good friend of the program, Trent Cole, told us this. When it's an NFC Championship game for the 2008 season in 2009, and after practice, the team puts the field outside and waters it down and doesn't tell the away team that they need to have bigger cleats, that has a lot to do with it, which is why we had to spot the Arizona Cardinals 21 points in that damn game. All right? Oh, Dave knows. Dave doesn't want to say it, but he knows. Am I wrong about anything I've said so far?
No.
Bull.
That's why they call it a home field advantage.
Yep.
Yeah, unfortunately, Arizona is one of the only teams that can drag the field out, slop it, tell the home team to get 3/4-inch cleats, don't tell the away game team, and here we are. But,
oh, the Flyers lost. Damn it.
I'm out. I'm out on the season.
You're
going to
be saying that a lot this season.
I want to bring up a couple more points on the game before we talk about Arizona just a little bit more. Running back Dallas Goedert.
Is he continues to be extremely
patient and decisive once he has the ball in his hands. It is fun to watch him right now. If you notice, okay, most tight ends are battering rams, all right? Dallas Goedert is not. He is sitting back. He's waiting for blocks. He is waiting for open field, and he can see it, and he is fun to watch right now. He has a 30-plus yard reception in 3 out of 4 games right now.
I think he's fourth in the league in yards after the catch. That includes wide receivers. But I do disagree. I think he is a battering ram because he does run over defensive backs.
When he has to. But he's waiting till he gets to the goal line. By the way, talking about yards after catch, this team is full of yak. This is the most yak-filled team I have seen in years. Dave, agree, disagree?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's fun talking to you guys because we've gone through this whole thing the last couple of years. Can Jalen Hurts throw the ball down the field? Well, he's throwing the ball down the field, and the Eagles are making big plays. He's also short passing game, catch and runs. I mean, this skill position group of players is, I think it's better than any I've ever seen with the Eagles.
You do recall I defended him last week after he threw a 55-yard bomb to Devontae on the sideline off his back foot. All right, we can get rid of the arm strength comment at this point. It's done. It's
buried. It wasn't a catch, though.
Huh?
Wasn't a catch, though.
It was a catch.
No, the way on the sideline you're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
No, he's talking about the one on the to the goal line, or are you talking about the one
to Devontae? No,
the sideline. Side I'm just messing. It technically wasn't, but it counted.
What if Richard?
I just wanted to bust your coyuns.
I watched this team, and I kind of admire them because I can imagine how much fun it would be playing on this team as a wide receiver with other wide receivers that can take the attention off of me and running backs and a quarterback, and then you have a defense that can get the ball back for you. You have a coaching staff that's being creative and innovative. Man, it's got to be a lot of fun to play on this team.
I'd love to ask you guys this question, all of you, because you represent the fans and you know you're very honest. And I asked this question of the coach today about a lot of fans have said to me they really like the vibe of this team. And they like the fact that it's just, as Irv said, looks like it's a team that has a lot of fun. Do you like the team as a personality, as a vibe, as a really entertaining product?
Real quick before I hand it to Sack, this team is every bit as advertised right now. And to be honest with you, as a sports fan or somebody from Philadelphia who always waits for the bottom to drop out. I am loving everything that I see right now. And even when this team went down 14-0
chemistry
on Sunday, I did not feel like Jacksonville had a shot of winning this game. It is a changed perception that I am not used to. I can tell you right now I'm not comfortable with it because I don't like change. But for God's sake, it's really damn fun to smile about, Zach.
I think winning cures all wounds, right? I mean, like, you kind of forget a lot of things from the past. But, like, I take it from the two player shows that I've been on and talking to Britton and talking to Zach. And I like asking the questions about Nick Sirianni. Because I'll tell you what, I like the guy. I think he's a genuinely good dude. I think he's just one of the guys. But when he has to put the hammer down and he has to slam it down, he does. And his players love him. They respect him. They have his back. And I think us as Philadelphia fans from last year and what we saw, we jumped to conclusions on him a little too early. What you're seeing over the last year is what Nick is all about and what type of guy he is. And that breeds to the whole entire locker room and it goes down into the leadership group that they have on this team.
You'll get a kick out of this. We were staying at the Westin Book Cadillac in Detroit week one.
I saw the pictures.
And,
yeah.
and the team was the there as well. And Nick came out into the bar area with Dom. I mean, you know, he still had faithful Dom next to him. But Nick came out. He was engaging. He was talking to people. He was having fun.
He's one of the guys.
He is one of the guys.
He's a dude.
Why did you invite me down?
You're a Richard. Go ahead.
let me tell you what this year with the Eagles has done for me. When I retired, I went through a season of years where I was really, I wouldn't say depressed, but I had a bad attitude. I was a disgruntled, retired. I was. And I was really frustrated about the NFL, my career, just the whole thing. And I went through a whole year where I did not watch football at all. I fasted from football a whole football season. I did not watch one play or one game. You can ask my wife. She would be upstairs watching football, and I'd be
but your wife's a Cowboys fan.
That's all right, but I didn't watch any football for a whole year because I did not have the love for the game anymore. I had this bad attitude. Don't know why.
I wouldn't want to watch football
with her
either.
But this year, because of this team, because of the Eagles, I've gained my love for the game back. Not because they're 4-0 right now, but just because of the swag they have,
the personality,
the personality. That's presented.
Keep it in your pants.
And it's fun again. It's fun again for me.
I find them to be excellent, humble. Right now, they're perfectly humble. All right? We don't expect them to go undefeated, and nobody would, especially in this day and age. And I'm not even thinking about that. But right now, they are perfectly humble. And that is one diggable quality in this city.
Well, I was going to bring that up earlier, actually, because of the player show here and then the player show on Monday night with TJ Edwards. Everybody says the same thing. Yes, they're 4-0, but it's you know, we got to work on this. We got to do this. We got to. They throw some positives in there, but they're not, you know, resting on their laurels.
Right.
You know, we got to do a lot of work to do to be better. And I love that about this young squad.
And as exciting as it is now, if the season ended today, the Eagles would have the fourth pick and the 31st yeah. pick in the first round of the draft.
Thank you, New Orleans.
We got a chance to be really good for a long time. And that's the thing, like, we're not afraid of this team, and I, you know, you always, hey, don't go overboard. People aren't afraid to say this is a really good football team now. And so when you go into a season, Irv, you always think you're going to be a good football team. Now the Eagles know they're a really good football team.
That's right.
There's a difference. There's a swagger.
Right, and you could hear it in Zach's voice. You could hear it in what he said. Mm-hmm. They know that they're good, but they also know that they can be better.
Because it changes so fast. And there will be times this year when we're sitting here going, man, I can't believe the Eagles lost to that team, or they have two straight losses, or what's going on? But you go through the ups and downs. The key is stay healthy, win these games, and then peak at the end of the year going into the playoffs.
No, and stay statistically above average in certain elements. And one of those, which was highlighted so much on Sunday, were points off of turnovers.
Three touchdowns.
That's a great point, Quimby.
Turnover ratio is the best in the league.
22 points off turnover.
And we could talk about the analytics involved, and we could stay professional about it, but at the end of the day, you say, beat that son of a bitch when they're down, because that's what happens when you score off a turnover.
The Eagles are also
deflate their entire game.
They're also the only team in the NFL that has five guys on the defensive side of the football that have 2+ sacks. I mean, and I think they had 16 total turnovers last year in relation to 10 so far through four games.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
Mama Fryer just walked by. Hello.
Did she win at the slots?
She looks like she won.
Yeah. You do all right.
Yeah, what a way to end the show.
She's a winner, and so are the birds. Let's get that dub on Sunday.
Everybody's a winner here at Live Casino. Come on down.
Thank you. Love that. Love that, Dave. You guys, absolute pleasure. I know we don't have the ability all the time and all these seasons to be this happy about this team, but we are right now. And kudos one more time, if we haven't said it, to Howie Roseman, because this is his architect. This is his... He's put this team together, and you know, you give him grief, and then all of a sudden he does what he's done, and the way this team is set up right now, like Dave said, with draft picks and with contracts being up this year, $66 million in contracts up this year alone, plus $20 million being added to the cap because continued revenue growth. I mean, this team is ready to retool, and this is a 3 or 4 year run for this team, which we haven't had in quite some time. I'm excited as hell. I'm excited as hell to be here at Live Casino.
Yep.
I'm excited as hell to continue to have Slash being our producer, Dave being a continued guest here, host of your Philadelphia Eagles Insider podcast. Hey,
Quimby's going to cry.
No, I'm not. Super Sam Brady. Taking advantage of Giselle's, you know.
Invitations are coming out next week.
Excellent.
Giselle slipped. She's slipping. Giselle slipped.
Sack only going big time on baseball brunch for us for 30 seconds.
Murph was up on the big screen. I thought we were going to have to get a change of pants for Sack.
I'll tell you what, though. I'll see you guys in St. Louis on Friday. Game one, wild card series. My wife and I will be there.
And I couldn't be any more excited than to have Irving Fryer as a permanent part of the show and a friend.
God bless you, bro, and I feel the same. Ditto.
And he's got
can you get me in the introduction?
By the way,
can you get my name in the introduction? Can you get my name in the introduction?
I'll talk to my guy
in the open.
And by the way,
I have to pull some strings, but I'll talk to my guy.
Irving Fryer once again is on the docket for the Hall of Fame. We need to get him in this year.
Yes, we do.
And we're working on
well
that.
Well deserved.
Big plans. You guys, Green Legion Radio.
Have a safe trip out to Arizona, guys.
Thank you.
You too. Okay. Bring back a win.
Green Legion Radio Players Show from Live Casino here in South Philadelphia on Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia. Appreciate you. We will see you on Sunday.
Go Birds!